This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. It's a very exciting day, exciting week, exciting episode, I think.
Well,
it's basically the beginning of the rest of your life. That that level of excitement, frankly.
Yes.
For anybody that didn't see on Instagram, I am engaged. Jared proposed to me on Thursday of last week. I'm still processing the whole thing. I'm very emotional. Before we started recording, I was telling Alexis and Billy about my feelings since it happened, and I almost cried again. So it's a whole lot. But you know what? What better way to...
We're going to share it with all of our friends.
All of our friends.
That's right.
I'm so excited. But before we get into... Well, by the way, this is going to be a whole... engagement wedding themed episode. So before we were going to record this, I had actually prepared an entire episode for this week having to do with something that I'm not going to say because it should be a very exciting surprise for next week.
That was a dark day today, but we're going to go into something that is a little different. So we're going to jump into the dark day right now.
Let's jump in.
We're going way back to 1641 in the small town of Shagford, in Dartmoor, where a bride was killed on the church steps right after her wedding.
Oh, yikes.
Yes. I mean,
well, we are trying to find wedding-related murders or something like that.
Or crimes. Anything relating, maybe legislation change, who knows? Anything relating that's, you know, semi-topical having to do with matrimony of any kind. And this is what we came up with, guys.
Yeah. No, it almost sounds like they had just gotten married.
Yeah.
They're on the steps. Shot rings out. She's wearing white. Bullet pierces her. Or it might even be a musket. I don't know what's... Yeah.
Musket.
And then a musket. Yeah. And then, like, you know, the red comes over. The husband, and they've been married for 5 minutes, is cradling her in his arms. And that was it.
So who was the culprit?
Now, so apparently they were saying that it was potentially a former suitor who said, like, you know, if I can't have you, like, nobody can have you, you know, that kind of thing. Nobody really knows. And there's some people that think that they don't know if it ever actually really happened.
So is this like an urban legend?
Almost a little bit. But here's what's interesting. We're getting this from the Mirror, and if anybody is listening to us from the British Isles, the Mirror is a little suspect, okay?
It's like the Inquirer.
It's a little like the Inquirer.
But they have some integrity. They have some facts, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say integrity.
Half integrity.
Yeah, I mean, they cover Unraveled in the Inquirer, and we were really excited about it. We're going to, like, frame it.
Yeah, we got a whole page
there. Well, just because it's salacious. I'm like, okay, like... Come up, like, expose my personal, like, do something. Yeah, yes. Like, this is great.
Wait, did they interview you or
they just covered did it?
Yeah.
Oh, even better. Not even calling the paparazzi on yourself.
I was super fucking pissed. We were on the cover, but they cut off half my face.
They did.
And Billy is front and center. And it's like, I'm like the, like, fucking Phantom of the Opera with half my face. Like, who is she?
Amazing. Love
it. Yeah, it felt great.
All right. Here's one of the craziest lines in this entire story. Mary's tomb records that she died, quote, a matron yet a maid.
Yes.
Oh, God, what a fucking feminine curse.
I know.
Which meant that she was married, but still a virgin.
And not consummated.
No, it has not consummated.
That is such fucking bullshit.
Yes. I know.
And the fact that she was reduced to those two little things about women is so frustrating, even back then.
Yep.
Don't like
we're always reduced to that shit.
Yes.
Like, we're reduced to tropes. We're reduced to, like, discriminatory sort of story beats. It's just, like, it's so fucking boring and cliche also.
Or you're reduced, in this case, to a myth or a legend.
Now, or a hypothetical banging.
Yes.
Now, apparently this... a hypothetical banging. All right, so apparently this her legacy remains on the stone floor of the church. There's a verse that was carved into the stone floor, and here's what it said. Reader, wouldst know who here is laid? Behold a matron yet made. A modest look, a pious heart, a Mary for the better part. But dry thine eyes, why wilt thou weep? Such damsels do not die, but sleep.
Okay, well, listen, as someone who puts a positive spin on anything fucked up, I appreciate the whole aspect of not dying but sleeping. That being said, like, are we really gonna harp on somebody's virginal status mm-hmm. as a defining sort of characteristic of their life?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
That's what bothers me. It's like, what about what her interests were? What did she do? Yeah, anything?
What was she like as
all
a gal?
All we literally are putting value on is her status as a virgin, or whether she's a matron or maid. Yep. And then you're letting her live in matron / maid purgatory for all eternity, mm-hmm. carving it into the stone of the church. It's mm-hmm. sort of like, that's not all she was.
So, well, number one, I'm like, how everything back in the day was such a riddle. I'm like, you really got to try to figure
out. Dude, it's like fucking William Shakespeare all up in this, like everything. How do we decipher this?
Just say it straight up, dude. Wasn't there some sort of like a curse that was put on the town or something like that with the church?
Apparently, yes. But what happens now is that all of the newlywed brides actually lay a flower on her tomb before they actually sign the wedding certificate.
As like a good luck. Yeah, or like a not good luck.
Exactly. A good luck or like don't kill me luck. Which is another kind of luck.
Yikes.
So there you go. So there's your
dark day.
That was a good dark day.
There's your dark day. So let's talk about getting getting engaged.
All right. Well, before we do that, we've got some bitching to do.
We sure fucking do.
Yeah.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. We're going to do something special this week, and we're going to have a nice theme.
Yes.
An On the Stand themed wedding, engagements, anniversaries, whatever we want to bring to like the romantic relationship aspect of On the Stand.
And I'm gonna mastermind.
I'm going to pour some champagne.
Can you hear,
do you hear those bubbles? I don't know if our audience
I heard
that
it.
I saw it, which is all that matters.
Honestly, yes. I'm salivating when I'm like a Pavlovian dog right now. A champagne pour, I get turned.
Well, a champagne popping. I'm like, what better sound is there in life?
There are no others.
There isn't at all.
All
okay.
Right, so,
just a ring popping out of a box.
Yes.
That's the only thing that's slightly better. Or a little velvet box popping open.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So who wants to go first for On the Stand? You want to go first?
Oh my gosh, I've never been asked to go first. Literally, either Jack will be like, I'm going first, or Billy will be like, I'm going first.
No, I make Billy go first sometimes because
but
he's so...
But I've never been asked to go first.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
Oh, holy shit. Okay, yes. So I have an On the Stand, and I'm going to give a little caveat before I get into it.
Okay.
I want to say that I appreciate the tradition of weddings. And if you are traditional, this is not a dig at you.
Okay.
You know, this is for a more progressive approach. And I understand, even if you don't feel this way, doing it for a parent.
Okay.
Doing it for others, even if you don't think it's the best. So I'm not judging you or condemning. And I know there are very sweet stories. And I'll finish my caveats when I'm done explaining. But starting with that. So what I'm putting on the stand are two aspects of the process of engagement through to the actual mm-hmm. wedding commencing. So asking the permission of the bride's father mm-hmm. prior to proposing. I think it's, I'm putting that on the stand. And I'm also putting on the stand the giving away sort of aspect of the ceremony at the wedding.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm prosecuting those. And here's why. So the idea that women are property, obviously, sort of, I think, rubs us the wrong way. I think it's a little antiquated.
A little bit.
It's a little outdated.
Not to mention, like, women are in the workforce now.
Yeah.
In droves. Yeah. It's not like we're getting exchanged for dowries like we once were. It's not like the men, the bride's family is always paying for the wedding anymore. Like, I don't think any of those things are happening on the reg.
Yeah.
They may be happening in certain families. Again, like, this is not a one-size-fits-all on-the-stand prosecution of this. And I appreciate people have, like, elderly parents or a dad. This is something a dad always wanted to do or something that, like, was really important in a family tradition aspect. I understand doing that. And this is not a judgment of your decision to do that. That being said, if those constraints and variables don't exist for you, I think it's beautiful that aspects of weddings are changing. And that, like, certain families, let's take Jack and Jared as an example. There was no question that Jack's dad, Bill, was going to say yes had Jared decided to ask permission. So sometimes you know it's fine, and I think it's beautiful to not have to ask permission.
But Jared did.
Well, but Jared is very, like, he's different, and he knew
Jared's
the answer. Like,
Jared's
the difference is that he knew the answer.
No, it's not just that difference. No, I'm going to stop you right there. It's not just that difference. Jared's a prince, and we all know this, but like, even if he knew that, it's just a matter of, like, he wanted to do, because he is that kind of guy, he wanted to do that step.
I think it's more, I think here's the big difference is how the men in your life are viewing the women in their life.
Yes.
So both my dad and Jared, like, are, like, my family's very progressive. Like, I'm so close with my parents. I'm obvious. My parents are so close with Jared. And I think that he asked my dad out of, like, a respect kind of a thing. Because he's like, I need to, like, why wouldn't I do it? I'm not so headstrong in my view against doing it. But Jared also doesn't think of me as property. And we have a very balanced relationship. So I feel like that's why it worked with him doing, with him asking.
Yes, and he knew the answer.
Yeah,
and he knew the answer. So I think
he wasn't nervous.
Right. And I think...
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so let me take this from the dad point of view.
Okay, yeah.
Because I have a particular perspective. Now, my future son-in-law asked my daughter... Didn't ask me, but you know what? They were together since they were like 13 years old.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that. And I also know that he's scared of me. So that's okay.
You know, so he probably did.
If you're
know
listening,
what you would say.
I know his name. I'm not going to say it. Yes. But if you're listening, blank, you know the deal.
Yes, exactly. So
I think it's different for every couple.
Different for every person. Also, Jared is so comfortable with your family, because your family likes to kind of party a little bit, in a sense, when it comes down to it. Your mom and dad are kind of like...
No, they're down.
Not party. They just do things, a lot
they're
of stuff
just,
together.
Yeah. Well, I just spend a lot of time with them, and we're so close to them. And Jared is so close with them, too, that, like...
It's just sort of like, for Jared to ask your dad is almost like for him to ask a buddy, be like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about this. I see it as that, because, like, that's what Bill's like.
Yeah, well,
in a sense.
He also,
obviously, it's a lot bigger, but it's just like, it's that.
I think it's also, he just knew it would mean so much to my dad, and it would be, like, such a big moment for both of them. And like I said, I think it comes down to, like, how you view women.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's it.
Totally.
And it's just, but we've also, like, talked about getting married, like, with my parents so many different times, so it's not coming out of left field, where I feel like back in the day... Maybe it would, because you weren't spending...
No, because
it was a lot more business.
No, because Bill would have been like, well, I have four cows.
Yeah.
Well, is that enough?
Are you going to
what
have...
What about for the stature in the community? Yeah, I'm not sure my fourth cow is like, I could do better than you.
Exactly.
But that all being said, so again, we mentioned how, like, you two are in a normal situation. Billy, you're not a fucking psycho control freak who's trying to ruin your daughter's life. And Bill is not a psycho control freak trying to ruin your life. That being said, I mean, if you think about how many people and crimes we've covered in the first degree, how many people crimes you've covered... in true crime and other podcasts you all listen to and shows, most of them are dads. So it's like the idea that we're asking permission to this arbitrary force, you know, I take issue with it as a general rule.
Yes.
Certainly, like, there are carve-outs.
I understand.
Certainly, there are carve-outs, but there are, like, lots of dads, lots of people who commit crimes. I don't have the stats in front of me because it's pretty arbitrary, but probably many are dads. And it's like, we just can't...
I hear you.
We can't give patriarchal figures, even in families, like, the defining word. Because daughters could be trying to escape their families.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm voting right now guilty. Boom.
Guilty.
Guilty.
I vote guilty as a overarching idea. Mm-hmm.
There are carve-outs where...
But there is an exception for every role.
Yes, and I think, again, everyone
feel like
listening,
a really romantic boyfriend.
I don't want any mean messages being like, my dad was ill and it was his defining moment as a father. I know. There are carve-outs. If you have a lovely dad, a lovely fiance, and they have a good relationship, and you have a good relationship with all involved, I don't want to hear it. I'm just saying... For those more outliers, like, I don't think as a general rule we should be relying on true... And also, Jack, Jared wasn't even asking for true permission.
No.
He knew the answer.
Yes.
It was a symbolic, ceremonial sort of
symbolic
thing.
Symbolic, yes.
Jared was
absolutely.
Going to, like, listen, dude, but, like, I'm going to marry her anyway I want.
Yeah, if we're seeking true permission, that's what I take issue with.
Totally,
because
totally.
We are the our own wind bearers, if you're a friend listener, like, friend watcher. We're our own wind bearers. Wind makers?
I love that.
I don't know.
Roll with it. Okay. All right. So.
I'm going to go.
Not guilty?
Guilty. Guilty.
Yes.
Guilty? Yes.
Gavel, Jared.
Gavel.
Well, here's the thing. I have two now, and you can tell me which one you think I should do.
Do both. Let's do both. You're the bride. Do both. It's a special episode.
Well, you just inspired me about putting... how do I even word this? Like, men proposing to women without having a conversation about it or without them knowing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to put that into, like, a smaller thing that we can fit on an Instagram story. But when we're talking about, like, outdated, arbitrary kind of things that are happening in the wedding sphere, I think not talking about a long-term relationship with your partner and not knowing if somebody's going to propose to you or not.
And then popping that,
and popping the question out of true surprise.
So, no, before... Sorry, Billy. May I?
Yeah, go.
We talked about it, I think, maybe in last week's episode of First Degree when we talked about love bombing, when we talked about how things in a relationship occur without proper pacing.
Yeah.
I think surprise anything in a relationship without proper pacing... is bad.
Yeah.
I think it's really, like, unnerving for the receiver. And so, yeah, I would say, like, an unexpected proposal is sort of a risk and probably will destroy the relationship if the person's not on the same page.
Well, it's the same thing as, like, the asking the dad. It's like, if you are unsure about what the answer is going to be, or, like, maybe it's up in the air, probably not a good idea. Like, for even if it's, like, a yes at the end of the day, it's like, you don't want to not know, and it shouldn't be your moment to be like, I'm going to throw them off guard and just, like, see what happens.
You see that sometimes at sporting events. So a guy will ask a gal to marry him, you know, and then he's like, he's got the cameras on him and everything like that. And she's like, sometimes she's just like, yeah, we didn't talk about this. What the hell are you doing?
And it's like, are you just doing this in public to throw somebody off to make them say yes?
Yeah, there's that. Or also, are you doing this in public to, like, force her to, like, really, really like that team and get season tickets? So, like, this will be your life because you love that fucking team.
You're going to get a hookup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think it's the same thing where it's just like, it should never... The idea that getting engaged should just be the man's decision and the man should be the one that, like, gets the final say. Yeah. I know the man doesn't because the woman has to say yes or no, but now you're pressuring the woman into saying yes or no. And I just think it should be a communicated issue and you should both be on the same page before it happens. It should just be like, you're doing it because you're on the
same page.
It's fun. Yeah.
So, okay. Based on what you said about sporting events, Billy, have you guys seen the documentary Unhung Hero?
No.
Have you heard about it?
Is that
it starts with this guy proposing at a sporting event. He's on the Jumbotron. He proposes and she says no. And he goes to find out that She said no because he has a tiny, tiny dick. And it's called Unhung Hero. And it's his whole thing about, like, he made a movie about this whole thing because he's a comedian. And he then eventually, like, interviews her. But it's his whole journey through this like, rejected engagement. And he turned it into a positive. But But I guarantee he didn't have that conversation beforehand.
No.
And there's nothing worse than someone says no on a Jumbotron. You're not coming back from there.
But then also, and in addition to that, too, it's like a woman, like a man just deciding to try to pick out a ring for a woman, too. It's like men are so fucking dumb.
Ask the best friend or ask the future fiance directly. Like, ask the best friend. Like, don't go out on your own. Women are picky and fickle creatures.
Don't take this upon yourself to get creative in this one decision.
This expensive decision that, like, they're saying yes or no once they see the ring.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't want it to be bad.
No, I knew exactly what my ring was going to be, except for it ended up a little bit bigger, which I was like,
Yeah, Jer.
All right. Thanks, Jared. Okay, anyways, Billy, what is your... Oh, wait, we're not... We haven't
your put, second one.
Oh, my second one was just going to be cash bars at a wedding.
All right.
Oh, no.
Which I think that everybody agrees.
No. That's not even a...
I'd rather have a dry wedding.
No, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Because it's tacky.
Mistrial. We're good.
No, the only thing that anybody gives a shit about at a wedding is getting wasted. So you better have that open bar.
Truly, like, skip the food. Yeah. Y'all just want to get drunk.
All right. So
they can get McDonald's on the way there.
Single bridesmaids and groomsmen are trying to fuck. They don't want to eat. Like, honestly, like...
No.
Put your money there and not into flowers, not into food, not into a dress. That's all people care about.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Nobody cares about your fucking napkins.
Nope.
At all.
People care about taking shots.
Yep.
Yes. All right. So my thing is the idea, the concept of destination weddings.
Okay.
It's a financial commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But it is sort of like... This person has a vision for what they want their best day of their life to be.
Right.
Holy matrimony. Truly.
Under the eye of God.
That's right.
And then they want their favorite people to be there. So even if it's in Bora Bora, whatever, there's a lot of money to be spent.
Not a terrible idea, by the way.
There's a lot of money to be spent, but I get it. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'll probably have a destination wedding. But when we were talking about weddings back in the day, I was like, I want to get married in Thailand. I was like, and it'll be a destination, and then it'll really cut down who's going to end up coming, and it'll be great. But I think now what we're going to do is probably do something in Mexico, because it's like, it's destination enough, it's close enough, it's cheaper for people to get to. Mm-hmm. You can have more people there that you actually give a shit about. And
it's doable.
It's doable. You know, Bali is like Americas.
Indonesia is like a 24-hour travel.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's hard for people who can get 4 days off can still go to Mexico.
Yeah.
And if with enough notice, people can do it.
Yeah, you're going to end up spending 4 days traveling to the other side of the world.
Yeah.
All right, so what you're saying is that destination weddings, as long as it's within this hemisphere.
No, I could do I would go to a destination wedding farther away. I think if you're given enough time, you can turn it into a vacation. I'm fortunate enough that I have a job that I could take time off, but not everybody can. But I think that if you do a destination wedding, you probably shouldn't ask for wedding gifts.
Yeah.
Because the gift is people paying to be there.
That's interesting. Yes. As opposed to like being, you know, in an Italian family where like you're waiting for those envelopes with the cash in them.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Which is also fucking weird.
And very niche. I don't think that's many families.
All right.
I would love a wad of cash as a gift.
Give checks.
For all my New York Italians out there, yes. That was a fucking thing.
I think Greeks do it too. Greeks also do it.
Yep.
I am half Greek.
I think me
ready,
too.
I'm ready.
Me too.
Ready for my wad of cash.
It's our one family line that we share. No, I think lots of cultures do it. But they can also get stolen.
Yeah, a little something for your...
Working crime.
No, well, you know what, though? That's why you have an enforcer there.
All right, anyways. Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
First one.
Not guilty.
No, not guilty.
Destination weddings.
No, the first one.
Of what?
Your two.
This was Billy's.
Oh.
Not Sorry. Guilty.
Not guilty.
Not yes. guilty. Let's go to the beach. Let's go
Off
to
we
the
go.
Beach.
Yes. Destined for destinations.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some non-true crime rewind.
Yeah, because we're going to get into it.
Ooh.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime. Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hello, everyone, to True Crime Rewind. We are not going to be rewinding. Actually, we're going to rewind a little bit.
We're rewinding a couple days.
A couple days to a magical moment. It was a moment that Los Angeles, which kind of has no soul, suddenly got this huge like pulse of energy and warmth when this happened. And it was out of the Fonda Theater, and then it just like spread out all across over Hollywood, over downtown LA, across the valley. And it was when Jared went on bended knee.
After a beautiful speech.
After a beautiful speech and proposed to Jack Vanek.
Wow. That was so poetic. Thank you so much. I guess we're gonna have a little chat about the proposal. Alexis was there.
Oh God.
And
it sure was.
I think what was so funny is like came over today, and the first thing you said is, let me look at your ring, because I was way too drunk to even remember what it looked like.
Okay, here's the problem with all of this. So the day started very early. I remember Jack was like, I will be at your house by 5. And I was like, she's lying. She'll be over by 6. You were over at like 5:30. So I was like, okay, cool. I got 10 bottles of champagne probably. So we just started. It just started. And then friends started coming over. And then Jack's family came over. And the bottles of champagne went.
Okay. So time out, because Alexis knew
Alexis knew
was happening.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And Alexis had been working with Jared. So this was a thing that Alexis,
all of my friends knew
that this was actually happening.
I knew first.
Yes. Alexis knew first.
No, I truly did. Jack told me her suspicions when you were in Las Vegas.
I knew first.
Yeah. Jack knew first.
Listen,
I knew second.
We know Jack's going to fucking know anything.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I can pick up on like the tiniest clue.
But when me and Jack were sharing a room in Vegas for our friend's bachelorette party, hi, Anna, who's getting married in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, and then I texted Jared. I was like, Jared, you let me know if you need help. And he was like, confirmed her suspicions, which I didn't tell him you suspected, obviously. Yeah. And I knew. And I was like laying the groundwork. That being said, we started drinking champagne at like, who am I kidding? I had a drink when I got ready for you guys to come over at like 4 o'clock. So then 10 bottles of champagne probably we went through, and then your family came over and we were out of booze. I'm like, how are we out of alcohol?
Well, and it was so funny because, I mean, my suspicions were confirmed the more and more people that ended up being like,
I'm coming.
And Jared's like, we can have anybody we want on the guest list. I was like, this is not normal, because usually you only get like 10 people for a guest list. How come everybody can like bring 5 friends with them? So why are my aunt and uncle coming to the show?
And why are your parents coming from Phoenix?
Yeah.
So when did you know? Like, when did you be like, okay, this is it?
I knew before. I pick up on clues very easily. So I just like had an idea weeks before. Because I'll go back. I mentioned it once to my mom that I was like, it would be so funny, like, if Jared proposed on stage, like, what a full circle moment for our story. And then I believe that she relayed the info. And the thing
you're really?
But the thing is with Jared is I plan every single thing that we do, because I'm very particular with what I want. He knows that, like, if he tries to do something and it's not right, like, I just need to plan everything. That's how I am. I like to be in control. So I'm like, the only possible situation we could be in that's like a little bit out of his comfort zone is in his world. Mm. And his world is
on stage.
So I just like, as like little clues ended up coming in, I'm like, okay, I think it's going to happen. I knew he had the ring. We went and picked out the ring him like together.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Why would you? You're not a lady of the night. Lady of friendship.
How dare you?
How
would you know? No, we went and looked at diamonds together, and then I was like, okay, now you can do what you want to do. I'm gonna leave it up to you.
I told you what band I want and what diamond I wanted.
I was like, make it very clear. Use them together and let me know when it's done.
But do what you want to do, but yeah.
Not outside the parameters I've given you.
No. Do it out of one of these. But so I had an idea, but the thing is, I thought it was happening at the show, but then he ended up proposing at the very, very, very end of the show.
Yeah, so you were all blacked out.
So they're playing song after song after song.
Which is so funny, because Jared was literally like shitting his pants the entire time. And he's like, muscle memory is an amazing thing, because his mind was like freaking the fuck out during the entire show.
I can confirm, I tried to make him eat something at my house. I was like, you want a nugget? He's like, I'm never eating. Like, no. I was like, what do you want? He's like, nothing.
And Jared would never turn down a nugget.
Or like, I was like, have a Big Mac, have a snack, have a fry. He's like, I'm good. I'm like, something's up.
Yeah.
I knew what was up, but I was like, oh, he's got nerves. I was like, yeah.
He was freaking out. So by the time it happened, it was like at the end of the show. And as the time was going on, I was like, oh, maybe it's not going to happen at the show. That's kind of weird. I wonder when it will happen. And then I kind of just gave up on the fact of it happening, because we were all sitting up in a balcony and they were on stage like 100 feet away. So I was like, how would I ever figure out?
But he gave
you
reasonable doubt. But he did good, because
good.
The fact that you even questioned it is amazing.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's not happening. I guess I'll just keep drinking. And then by the time it happened, I was like pretty drunk. And I just like turned into like a puddle of mush once like he got me up there.
Because it's also emotionally overwhelming to have the man you love on the knee in front of several people, the crowd
yeah.
of the who is there to see the main, and they were all so excited because they're like, they're obviously fans of the main if they're there.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. And then also to witness this moment, I'm sure, was super exciting for them.
Yeah, I know.
And you're
fun.
You're like, that energy transfers very fluidly, you know, mm-hmm. like energy is shared in those moments. And I think you are such a sensitive person that I think like you're overwhelmed. I don't even think you know where that came from, but I think it's all this energy, like his family, your friends, all these fucking thousand strangers.
Yeah.
And then the attention, which you're not, it's Hate you're attention. Not a specialty.
No.
Being up on the stage and just the excitement, like you love Jared. So I think all that together, plus the alcohol, equated to like a panic attack.
Plus the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a full blown meltdown. Well, it was so funny because I'm rewatching the videos. Because obviously I feel like anybody blacks out during an engagement. Like he blacked out. I blacked out. So
no one knows what happened.
No.
Because you're too like you're having your fight or flight thing. But you're like,
yes.
Not either. Yeah. Like, freeze.
Yes.
Okay. So then your memory wipes.
So I froze, but it was so funny. He's like, Jacqueline, can you like come on stage? I literally come and I stand in the very corner, like behind the drum riser. And he's like, come on out. Like you can come a little
you
bit further. And then I took like two more steps.
And then like stepped back.
And then stepped back. And I was like in the corner of the stage, like I didn't know what to do. And I was sending the video to my friend Bryn, who wasn't there because she lives in New York and I love her.
Oh, she doesn't listen, does she?
I don't know. But she was like, I've never seen you so shy before. Like, I'm not a shy person at all. And I'm also, like, I am actually really good on stage.
Yeah.
Like, we do live shows for Lady Gang, like, all the time. We'll do some for First Degree. Like, I really don't get nervous on stage or public speaking. And I was just, like, I didn't know what to do. And then when he got down on the knee and he's, like, holding the ring up, I was literally shaking my head no. Like, I was just, like, in disbelief, like, going like this. And he's, like, is that a yes? Like, is it a yes?
Did he ask?
Yes, but I literally like never shook my head. I was shaking my head no, because I was just like out. Like I
You're
was
like,
so,
oh my God.
I was like, so out of my fucking mind. It was just so funny. And I like watched it back. I'm like, oh my God. I was like,
it was great. I love watching it. I've watched it several times. And I was there.
He was so cute and silly and like simple. And it was, I think it was so good for the occasion that it was in.
Yeah.
Like he did really well. And he's just like the biggest sweetheart. And during my panic attack that I had after the show, he was so calm, so comforting, like the biggest sweetie pie in the entire world.
Because he knows it's not about him. Yeah. I mean, I think emotions are so complicated. Like it was residual fucking shock from like the attention and the energy.
Yeah.
It's obviously not about you guys. You guys have the most like solid relationship. So, Jared, you are the trusty steed of trusty
yes.
steeds.
He really did it. And he's the best. I love him
we
so
love
much.
You, Jared.
Oh, so he's
we love
here.
You, Jared.
But he's actually home working for the First Degree today.
Yes.
So.
That's the spirit.
Yes, Jared.
Keep on going, you workhorse.
He's on the clock. But I just wanted to give everybody a little update because I've gotten so much love on Instagram and a bunch of people have been asking like in the Facebook group and stuff. So I wanted to give everybody an update that, yeah.
You're engaged.
Engaged lady. Ugh. A taken woman.
Yes.
You sure fucking are.
Yep. So I think that was a good wrap up, right?
Gorgeous.
That was a great true crime rewind.
I love you guys so
great
much.
Great true crime rewind. All right. Well.
And by the way.
What?
While you were doing that, I did Google if there was any murders at the Fonda, which is where that
are
happened.
There?
No, I didn't find anything yet.
Squeaky clean establishment, everyone.
Well, good thing that there wasn't one there on Thursday.
Honestly, guys, hashtag not an ad.
Yeah.
Not an ad, but can be.
So, we are going to hear from you people now. About the worst things that you've ever done.
Yes, just because Jack's engaged doesn't mean you're not bad people.
No, because right. We know you're all bad people / good people.
The way I can spin it, absolutely.
Yes.
I can always find a glass half full
yes.
approach.
Worsty firsties are coming up next.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Friends, just because Jack's engaged doesn't mean all is right in the world. Because
we got to balance it out.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, like, we need to neutralize her joy somehow. We can't just all live in this.
It's a little gross at the end of the day. So we need to find something that will.
No, this is a great neutralizer.
Yes,
as happy as we are for Jack, and she will have the matrimony of matrimonies.
Yeah, I'm blinding in the glow right now.
I also want to say this destination wedding in Mexico, I may or may not be the officiant, mm-hmm. but I'm just throwing that out there. That being said, we have to do something to tear my joy down.
Tear it down.
And we're here for this. So without further ado, here is our first worsty. Okay, side note, actually, before we start, I want to remind you all that a few episodes back, I implored somebody who called in and whose message was cut off to call us back.
Yes.
And I gave some clues. I said, like, fish. I can't remember what other clues I gave.
Egging a house or toilet paper house, toilet paper like house.
And I was like, please, please, please call back because your message got cut off. So she found me on Instagram and she sent me a voice memo of the entire thing. So here is that. And I'm so happy that she found us because this is turning into a two-way medium. You know, this is what we wanted. So here she is.
Hi, Jack, Alexis, and Billy. I'm so sorry that I left you guys with such a cliffhanger when my message got cut off a few weeks ago, but I'm thankful that you guys mentioned it on the podcast last week so that I could call back. And thanks to Alexis for figuring out an easier way for me to get this kind of long story to you guys. I'm going to try and be as concise as possible. So a little background. I grew up in what I consider a religiously abusive household, which meant a lot of forgiving and forgetting. And for my mom, that meant forgiving and forgetting her stepdad, who was my grandfather, for sexually abusing her, which really was unfortunate because then he sexually abused me. I don't mean to make light of that. It's a defense mechanism. So I've done a lot of healing. It's been really hard. And I had to cut off my family because they're very toxic. And so the only person I really have a relationship with is my sister and an aunt. So I was really sad about 4 years after I cut my parents off to find out that my really amazing great uncle passed away. He was like the joy of family reunions. He would pull quarters out of our ears. He was so kind and loving. He had a pool in his backyard and he made really funny jokes. And I just couldn't get enough of him. He was so incredible, an amazing human. So when he passed away, I realized that going to his funeral was going to mean facing my family. And I thought, you know, I feel like I'm in a good place. I'd had a lot of therapy, have a great supportive partner. And I knew my sister would be there. So I decided to hop on a plane by myself and go and fly into Peoria, Illinois, to go to this funeral. And when I got there, my aunt called me and said, hey, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but we found out that Don, the abuser, is going to show up at the funeral. And I think largely to cause trouble, because that's the kind of toxic I'm talking about. So I called my partner and he, because I was like, there's no way I can handle that by myself. So my partner jumped on an airplane with our 2-month-old baby and flew in to be with me. And we went to this funeral and it sucked. my abuser tried to talk to me. My parents tried to talk to me. Yeah, it was tough. We got through it and we were at the, and then my great aunt begged me to come to the funeral reception where we were all having like dinner together. And it was good. We told stories and looked at pictures, and that was really nice. But then, you know, and obviously there's drinks. So me and my sister are drinking quite a bit to get through this. My partner stays sober because he's like, somebody has to drive and take care of the baby. We are pretty tipsy. It's towards the end of the funeral, and Joy tells me how rude my abuser was to her at the funeral. I'm recapping how he was towards me, and we just get angry. We're just ragey angry. So my sister goes, you know what I've always wanted to do? I've always wanted to spray paint his house with red spray paint, and I wanted to spray paint pedophile across the front of his house. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. We should do that.
Holy shit. So this is pretty riveting.
we needed to stop and take an intermission and
yes.
really chat about our thoughts so far.
What do you all think? Because I'm listening to her. And first of all, I'm not going to give your name away, caller. I know your first name and I would be saying it. And I love and respect you because we had to go through some hurdles to find each other mm-hmm. to share your story. And I am just like in awe of your strength. The fact that you yes. have a partner after that kind of emotional tribulation is incredible. Well, your mother.
Also your partner, like how lucky that you found such a supportive, amazing partner that literally dropped everything, just jumped on a plane with your newborn yes. child and is like, I'm going to fucking be there for you. I'm going to be your DD because you've got to drink through this. Like
not only mm-hmm. that, like you are like now a parent and you seem to be like, of sound
thriving.
Mind. Like you yeah. have done, you did the hard boundary, which is cutting off family, which so few people
hard.
Have yeah, the strength yeah, to yeah, do because yeah. everyone's programmed to think that like family equals obligation. It's not. Like if they're unhealthy, you can say goodbye, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? Those you're teaching people really amazing lessons with the sharing that you're doing.
Yeah.
And truly, the idea of hypothetically spray painting onto someone's home, what you could do as far as vandalism is concerned could never equate to what was done to you. So like, I love that this is like sort of just like petty, the retaliation mm. in a,
yeah, but it's
in a way that's like, you still feel bad about it. You know,
no,
like,
she felt so bad that she couldn't do it. And right. to be honest, every fucking pedophile should have pedophile spray painted across their house.
That's right.
Like that should just be part of the whole thing.
Every sex offender registry, like it should be like, oh, you're buying this house. We need to have a city crew come
and spray
and,
paint
and paint this. Like, oh, it's like, and then these guys are like, oh, we got another one. Or it's like, and then they have to paint fucking pedophile.
No, it that's should right. be. It should be a fucking given.
100%. So we just wanted to interject, but the rest of your story is a coming.
And then, and so we started planning. I mean, because we're drunk, you know, we're like, yeah, we can totally do that. And my husband was like, listen, I support your need for revenge, but do you think maybe we shouldn't commit a felony or like go that far? He's like, let's scale it back. So we settle on egging. So we're like, we're going to do the pettiest, most high school thing. And we're going to drive to his house and we're going to egg it. But we realized we have to like tell some, you know, some people where we're going. So we make up an excuse that we've got to go to Steak and Shake. And I know you guys will understand because when you have that special someplace that you go to get something delicious, it's really important and you'll leave a reception for it. So we say we're going to Steak and Shake. We've got to get a milkshake. And we head out. We go instead to a large chain grocery store, which I will not name. And we go to get eggs, but while we're in there, we walk past the fish section and it smelled horrendous. It was like the worst smelling fish section I've ever been in. And that's when inspiration hit. And I realized that we should really take it up a level beyond eggs, but still below spray paint. And so we bought every single last disgusting tilapia fillet that they had and drove to my abuser's home with my 2-month-old sneezing in his car seat and my partner in the driver's seat ready to get us out of there. Me and my sister take 3 dozen eggs. I think it was 3 dozen eggs. And all these fish fillets that smell so bad. It would like stunk up our car. And, we just start unleashing and sort of throwing these eggs and it's a mess on the front of their house, on their door, it's on their windows. And then we start throwing the fish fillets, and we were just like throwing it in the bushes. And I was like really hoping like raccoons would come and make a lot of noise and stuff. And then I realized we could take it up even more levels and throw the fish fillets on their roof. Cause you know, he's 80 years old. He's not going to climb up on that roof, but he's not even going to realize it's up there. Right. So we throw a bunch on the roof. It's like in their gutter. And then I think I was putting one in the mailbox when my husband was like, it is time to go get in the car right now. We got to call it. So my sister threw one last hard throw, and there was a split second when the egg hit the window. It looked like the whole window was going to shatter. It like bent and shook, and we froze. And as soon as we realized it didn't crack, we jumped in the car and sped out of there. Highly recommend. It was very healing. Loved it. However, a few days later, my aunt, who I still had a relationship with and loved a lot, called to say, yeah, we went by their house, and it's really weird. They got egged the night of the funeral. And I was like, weird. I can't believe that happened, but I'm also not that upset about it. And she's like, yeah, well, we had to scrub egg off of their door and windows and stuff. And I was like, wow, that's too bad. I'm sorry you had to do that. And while I felt really guilty that they had to clean it up, I realized she didn't mention the fish. So we can only assume that the fish, it was March, it was like cold, had probably frozen overnight, and they didn't smell it when they were cleaning up the next day. So it must have just sat there. And we even went, after we threw the fish, we went to establish our alibi and bought Steak and Shake fry seasoning so that we like had proof of where we went. And I told my aunt, I was like, that's so strange. Like, I don't know, but hey, I'm cooking with that Steak and Shake seasoning that I got the other night, and I'm so excited. And just tried to like double down on my alibi. I think she knew, but I'm really glad that she didn't find the fish. And I really hope that it ruined their springtime. I hope while they were gardening in their garden and being awful people, that they just were baffled by this horrible stench coming from their home. I hope raccoons drove them crazy all night. And yeah, I don't feel bad, and I refuse to say otherwise. Highly recommend. Egg your abuser's homes. Feels great. Also, thanks for giving us a space to share this stuff. I have never publicly spoken about my abuse like this, and it feels really good, and I'm thankful that I have great firsties to listen to it and to commiserate with me. So thanks again, guys. Love the podcast. Keep it up.
Honestly, for me, I'm at a roller coaster of emotions.
I know. Oh my gosh.
I hate that you even had a fucking abuser. I love your process though. It's like you still have, what I love about this is that you still have empathy for people connected to this, and you're a better person than the people who raised you, yeah. You know, because people can go one of two ways when they're abused. They can turn into terrible people, or they become overly empathetic where they feel everyone's shit.
Yeah.
And immediately when you had an aunt that was connected to this outside of the abuse, you're just like, oh my God, I felt guilty. It's like, but this isn't your space to feel guilty. No. Truly, like, you have already taken enough of the brunt of the sort of emotional aspects of this. And I love for you that you did this very benign thing, but it was an act of rebellion against what was done to you.
Yeah. And I think that if, again, you think this is the worst thing that you've ever done, it's definitely not the worst thing you've, I mean, there's so many people that have done so many worse.
Yeah.
Even like victimless sort of crimes. But like, I'm glad that it gave you some sort of a release, and it made you feel a sense of power in the whole situation. And the fish that, you know,
thought in the
thought out is yes. Gift that keeps on giving.
That
so
now, is.
This might have been the most perfect call. This was the most perfect fucking message that we've gotten from the Worsty Firsties, because it had the long game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She did everything right. And I'm sorry this happened to you, yeah. But you took control of it, and you're in control.
Not only that, you have a bomb partner who was like, I will drive the getaway car.
Yep.
Our baby's in the back because this is fucking retribution.
He's literally ride or die. I love it so much.
Me too. And I love like that you found a partner who sees you, knows your truth, understands you, and also knows the limits. Like when it, hey, we almost broke a window, like he's also not worth giving any more to, meaning fines or charges
or like actually getting in legal trouble. Like it's not worth,
he should be getting in legal trouble, not you.
Exactly.
So it's like your partner also was like, yeah, this is mischief, but we don't want to press too hard and get ourselves in trouble for something this piece of shit did.
No.
So no, I awesome. Am so proud of you.
Yes.
And also thank you so much for the kind words at the end of your message. Yes. Like that made us all emotional listening to.
We were all
to.
Like choked up.
Sometimes I think like the three of us, we just see each other all the time and we don't, sometimes we don't realize the community that we've built of people that are there for each other and supporting each other through heavy shit like this.
Very.
So we're so happy that we gave you the space to speak. And I hope that you found people through listening to the podcast and the community that you can connect with.
Yeah. And we're fucking here for you. Like we are here for you. And we are, again, like we will support anyone who calls in.
Yes.
Because you know what? Even if what you did is not a nightmare. What you did was well deserved.
Yeah.
Yes. Unless somebody calls in and says, I murdered somebody.
Yeah, of course.
Alexis would somehow find the light.
It just depends. It depends on, did they kill someone you loved? I mean, I will find are you prepared to go to jail? Like, because that is the truth. Like, some people are, anyways, don't distract from the kind situation that's happening. That being said, like, there's always a story behind a crime. There's always a compelling variable. There's a reason people why are and who they are.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they commit crimes. Mm-hmm. And I think exploring the back end of that is so important and will help transform our criminal justice system. I think mitigating factors are real.
Yeah.
That being said, what you did was not a crime. And we love you and support you. And this is...
Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, for sure. We love you.
All right. Well, now we're really getting let off into the night with a stanza of sorts.
Okay. So this was impromptu. So you're going to have to forgive me. This poem is called The Wedding That Almost Was.
Okay.
And obviously you guys know it's called the Costanza Stanza.
Yeah.
I've experimented previously with other characters.
Yeah.
This happened to work, but here we go. It's a short poem, but I think it hits the point home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As Seinfeld is concerned. The wedding that almost was. It never happened, and that's because Susan died and George lied. Not surprising, because that's what he does. George pretended to grieve. And he was believed. It's not fair, but it was what it was.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
I mean, I don't know. Billy is not reactive.
I mean, did he really lie?
He's lied the whole time. He didn't want to get married. Yeah. And he lied the entire time.
Yes, but, you know.
Susan died and George lied. And he lied pretending to grieve when he didn't care. Mm. Remember when he was meeting with Susan's trustee foundation?
Yeah. No, that is true. Like, yeah,
no,
yes.
Susan died and George lied. Yes. Not surprising because that's what he does.
Yes.
George pretended to grieve and he was believed. It's not fair because that's what it was.
Okay.
No, that, I mean.
No, okay. All right. Stop
Billy's
it.
Billy's trying
stop
to poke
it.
Holes in stop my
it.
Poem.
Get your hands off my throat, Alexis. Stop it.
I'm not even near him.
I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. It was an ode to her anyway.
Yes. Yeah, not to you.
Goodbye, everyone. Happy matrimonial bliss to you all.
Yes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.